Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, Courtney. This is Sarah Marshall from Kent Memorial Library.
And hi, Sarah. It's Courtney from the Millbrook Library. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good.
I think our big topic today is the IMLS.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I know this is impacting states in different ways, and I'm very curious to hear what's happening over on your side of the
Well, I think as with everything that's been going on in the last 100 days or so, is it's raised as many questions as we don't know. So, you know, as the public knows, this government department was closed. All of the staff was put on leave, and the grant to states, which is really what we're talking about. So the way it works is most libraries are publicly funded by taxes, and if they're not, they are, like we are, an association library, so we get a grant from our town, but other than that, we raise our money through fundraising. But we function as a public library. So we don't get money directly from the federal government. The federal government supports the state library system, and then the state library system provides services that enhance what we can do. So what's happened is Connecticut, California, and Washington State, all three of them had their grants immediately revoked, which was halfway through the fiscal year. The fiscal year for the government payment system ends on September 30th. So starting April 1st, the state of Connecticut and these other two states were going to receive nothing, no more of their grant payment. I don't remember the actual number, but I think it's $2 million. But I'm making that up. I wish I had it in front of me, but I don't, I'm afraid. Anyway, that money is used for all sorts of things. And one of the things that we're going to feel, if indeed it does get canceled, it will be what I call the CCAR, which is the van that drives all over the state and shares our materials. So that is one of the main functions that the Connecticut State Library provides for us. And as a rural library, that's really important. We can't have a big collection. We don't have the space. We don't have the money. So we rely on this interlibrary loan van service to be an affordable way for us it's free for us to be able to share materials and borrow materials from anywhere in the state. So just for a frame of reference, if we were to mail a book somewhere, anywhere, it doesn't matter, it costs, depending on the weight, somewhere between like $4.50 to $6 a pop. If it's a really heavy thing, like some person wants a stack of encyclopedias, which, you know, we wouldn't send, but you get what I mean, it's going to be even more than that. So we get 24 books coming in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, you know, let's just say 75 books a week come in. We would be paying for that. So that's a huge amount of money that we don't have. And I know that they did used to use the mail system, and there is a book rate. That $4 or whatever is the book rate. But that would be the biggest hole, the most immediate hole that we would have to plug, and that would be the thing that the patrons would feel the most. Mm-hmm. The other big hole that would be created would be by the E-rate system. And the E-rate is a grant program that's run by the federal government. It's managed by the states, and basically we get a grant that helps us pay for internet. And if we lose that, that's about $6,000 a year that we would have to come up with. And $6,000, you know, for a budget of our size is significant. So we would have to scramble to find that money. Those are the two things that probably the patrons would feel, because we'd have to pull money to keep our internet from other things. And then, of course, that big interlibrary loan. But there are lots of other things that the IMLS does, and we would be it would be very unfortunate to lose that too. So that's basically what I understand is happening in Connecticut. How about New York?
Yeah, so it seems like our structure is a little bit different, but the results are pretty similar, honestly. So for us, the Grants to State program that the Institute of Museum and Library Services administers goes to funding the personnel budget of the New York State Division of Library Development.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's about, us too. Yep.
Yeah, that's about $8 million. And that division is super important because it's the agency that, like, that we report to under New York State regulation, and they administer all state aid for libraries. So mm-hmm. all the aid that the state decides, like, hey, this is what our library systems are going to get this year, they're the ones that actually distribute that. So without them, that piece of the chain is missing.
Right.
And there's no way to get the funding to the system. So most of our funding statewide does go to our library systems. Mm-hmm. We get, like, maybe a little over $1,000 in state funding a year.
Okay.
But the money that goes to the systems is super important. And in our system, the Mid-Hudson Library System, 80% of their operational funding comes from this state aid, essentially.
Wow.
And the system is the one that provides our delivery service and runs all that for us.
Right.
We have our online catalog is maintained by them. The system that we use on our back end, Sierra, for all the staff is maintained by them. They do professional development training and trustee training.
Yeah, we got that too. But yeah, the website thing, the ILS is a big problem too.
Yeah, yeah. So without the ILS, without Sierra, which is like how all the libraries communicate on the back end, we would be in a lot of trouble because, like, that's very expensive to pay for by ourselves.
Right.
And like you said, the cost of delivery, I'd say on average we get about, I would say, like 60 to 65 items a day.
A day?
Yeah. So without that delivery system, that would really hurt our patrons. And I know it's one of those things where, like, it's so easy that a lot of people don't understand the mechanisms behind it and what a complex system and how expensive it is to run. It's just like you put a book on hold, it magically shows up a few days later, and it's that easy. And I think if this funding disappears, that's going to be something that's going to be a huge pain point for people.
Right.
And we're also limited with our collection size. You know, not every library can have everything that everybody wants.
Exactly.
And that's the beautiful thing about collaboration and sharing between libraries, especially, like, on a system level.
Right.
So those are some of the big issues that we're, like, looking at. And definitely if the system is highly impacted by this, then us as a smaller rural library, we're definitely going to feel the results of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, us too. Well, you know, our State Attorney General, William Tong, is participating in the lawsuit that is suing the federal government for particularly these funds. I don't know the status of exactly what they're asking for. What I understand is definitely asking for this year's appropriation because it has been approved by Congress. But after that, I don't really know. Again, you know, there's been such confusion and it's all been so fast that it's hard to know exactly which mole to whack and which thing is the most important item that we have to focus on. So all I know is that it's in process and that he's in that suit, he's filing that suit, and we hope that at least we'll get some sort of help from that. But, you know, lots of confusion, lots of worry, and nobody knows. Nobody knows much.
Yeah, I think what we've been doing here at my library, and I think in our system as well, is we've been putting out calls to action for our patrons to contact mm-hmm. the representatives if they're concerned about this, and tell them that you don't want library funding to disappear because it's an important part of your life.
Right. There was an article in, I think it's the Millerton Times today, which is connected to one of our local papers, the Lakeville Journal, and it's a whole sort of discussion about this. So we've been kind of going that direction, is using our local media sources to get the news out to people that they need to be aware. It's hard because I think, again, there's so many things happening so quickly. It's hard for people to know which is the most important thing to focus on. And if they're more concerned about things like civil liberties, you know, library funding is not super high on the list of things we have to be worrying about. So it's easy to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where libraries have been so good at doing so much with so little for so long,
right,
that I think there's not really much left to cut, right? So especially if this funding disappears, like, library services will change as we know it, I think. And I think that would look really sad, honestly, because I think I see it every day, and I'm sure you do too, with the people that come in our doors and use our services and the difference that it can make in people's lives. And I think it's one of those things where like, you can't take it for granted.
No, and that's sort of the sharing economy that the library represents is so efficient and so sensible that when you see it starting to go away, it's frustrating, very, very frustrating, because really, I mean, do we all need to own all these individual books? No, we don't. And sharing things and being able to share them across towns really is, it's just a much more effective way for people to access information than it is for every little tiny library to have its own little tiny collection. It just doesn't make sense.
Absolutely.
It's depressing.
Let's talk about happier things for a second.
We can. Do you have any fun books that you've been reading? Give us something nice.
Oh, so I've been reading Revenge of the Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, the new one,
read, and it's been really good so far. And I really like kind of like narrative nonfiction, I guess, is how he writes. So that's been really interesting. And then I've been reading a fiction book called Water Moon by Sam Soto Yombo, and that's really good. It's kind of this mystery about what happened to this girl's father, but there's like wormholes and ponds, and I believe it's a Japanese book. It's a really good read so far.
Wow. I just finished this one. It actually came out in March, and it's called Tilt by Emma Pettine.
Oh, yes.
Have you read it?
I've heard of it. It's been popular.
It's good. It is a story about an earthquake that hasn't happened yet, but that it is predicted to happen at some point in Portland, and it's a huge, you know, catastrophic earthquake, and destroys, you know, you don't know because they're in the middle of it, but it feels like the entire city is just destroyed. But it's really the story of this woman who's in her 30s, and she's like 37 weeks pregnant, and she's in an IKEA when this hits. And it's this absolute existential crisis. You know, what am I doing? What is happening? Am I ready to be a parent, an adult? You know, where does my relationship stand? How am I going to manage all of these things when the world is falling apart? So it's an environmental story. It's a sort of dystopian story, but it's also a really human story. And goes, you know, I have two, you know, mostly grown children, and they're dealing with being in their 20s and all of those important decisions about your life that feel so important then. And sometimes when you look back, you know, now I'm in my 50s and say, oh, you know, I could have gone a totally different path. Well, they're in the path, and she's in the path. And it's really good. And it's quick. It's quick read, and I just really loved it, and it's got me thinking about a lot of things. So that's what books are for, right, to get us thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Highly recommend. So put it on your list.
That sounds like it would be right up my alley.
Yeah, I really think it will. Good. All right, I think we're running out of our time slot here. Any other exciting things you've got going on?
I think we just have a ton of stuff planned for May. On May 3rd, we're going to have a collaborative program with the Millbrook Music Salon, which is a new nonprofit that's dedicated to bringing classical music to kind of the public. And we're having Sterling Elliott, who plays cello, do a workshop for kids that we're really excited about. We're also on May 10th from 11 to 1 having a second birthday party for our community fridge. So we're going to have games and face painting and cake, and people are encouraged to bring donations.
That
should be really good. And then kind of a really exciting one on May 7th, Wednesday, May 7th from 6 to 8, we're partnering with Merritt Bookstore to bring Susanna Callahan and Ada Calhoun to talk about their books that they just published. One is called Acid Queen, and it's about Rosemary Leary, who was really connected to the Hitchcock estate in Millbrook and is like a really a relevant, I think, figure in Millbrook history. And then Ada Calhoun's going to talk about her new book, Crush. So we're really excited about
that. Oh, boy, you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, May is packed.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we've got a couple of author talks, which we're looking forward to, and an art film that we're showing, and gearing up for our big fundraising season, which is always a big energy boost in town. Our book sale starts on Memorial Day weekend, and we're doing another local raffle. It's sort of, it's not really a raffle, but all sorts of that sort of fun stuff going on. And then, strangely enough, we're all actively participating in coming up with the America 250 project,
which
we're participating in, and I hope you guys will too. Which is,
yes. It's
next year, but man, it's barreling down the pike.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So we're working on that, too.
That's very exciting.
All right. Well, it was great to talk to you.
It was good to talk to you, too.
And let's hope we have more answers than questions next time, huh?
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.